Frank hearing will be resumed Friday. The Atlanta Journal, Wednesday, 29th of April, 1914, page 1, column 5. Solicitor ready to combat defense evidence Burns, raps the police. The hearing of an extraordinary motion for a new trial for Leo M. Frank will be resumed before Judge Ben H. Hill of the Criminal Division of the Superior Court, Friday. Solicitor General Dorsey has practically completed the work of securing evidence to combat the defense's amendments and will be ready for the hearing. The defense may further amend its motion by bringing in the various notes written to Annie Maud Carter by Jim Conley. This, however, will not result in a further delay. Detective William J. Burns, who is still working on the case, is indignant at the intimation in published reports that the Solicitor General and the city detectives are investigating this work in Chicago on the case with the view of showing a frame-up. "I am always willing for the light to be turned on," says the detective, "and I dare and defy them to find where there has been any frame-up or dirty work on my part. I want them to investigate just as much as they please." Took one affidavit. There was only one thing done by myself in Chicago in connection with this case, and that was the taking of an affidavit from Aaron Allen, a Negro stool pigeon who was employed by the detectives to stay in the cell and pump Newt Lee, the Negro night watchman, while he was under arrest. The Negro Allen made the affidavit freely and voluntarily. In fact, he came to my office in Chicago. The detectives are seeking by innuendo to make people believe they have discovered a mare's nest in Chicago. For that reason, I turn on the light. Mr. Burns paid his respects to the police when he was asked if he was ready to make public his report. "We would be pretty fools," he said, continued on last page, Kerner 3. "Frank hearing will be resumed Friday," continued from page 1, "to place all of our evidence in the hands of the police so they could start frightening and intimidating the witnesses and locking them up like they did Manola McKnight." The Solicitor General considered asking the court to resume the Frank hearing Thursday instead of Friday, but decided not to pursue this course. "The elimination of the Ragsdale evidence," he says, "has facilitated the work of preparing the countershowing. Although this amendment has been stricken by the defense, the solicitor will insist on Reverend C. B. Ragsdale's repudiation of the affidavit given the defense becoming a part of the record. Barber reported missing, R. L. Barber, who claims that he joined Ragsdale just after the minister said he heard Conley confess, is said by the solicitor to have disappeared. The detectives have been searching in vain for him since his affidavit was made public. Following a visit to the Kirkwood residence of Mr. Ragsdale of a committee from the Plum Street Baptist Church, it has been announced that Mr. Ragsdale has resigned his pastorate. The committee from the church, which visited the pastor, was composed of Frank A. Smith, W. R. Beatty, Charles G. Wheeler, J. E. Dobbs, T. B. Dobbs, and Reverend J. W. Carton. After the visit, they announced simply that Mr. Ragsdale had resigned as pastor, and that a report of the whole matter will be made to the church on Thursday evening. The members of the committee also stated that R. L. Barber, who made the affidavit strengthening that of the pastor, has never been a member of the Plum Street Baptist Church. Mr. Ragsdale has been with the Plum Street Church a little more than a year, tells how his name was brought in Ragsdale affair. Dr. J. M. Pierce, who has offices at 515 Grant Building, has furnished the journal with the following statement, the publication of which he requests. "In explanation of my name connected with the Reverend C. B. Ragsdale's phase of the Frank case, I wish to state that several days ago, my friend and neighbor, Dr. B. Wildauer, asked me if I knew the Reverend C. B. Ragsdale. I told him I did. He asked about his character and his being a truthful man, and if I would believe him on oath. I told him I would, as I had known him for several years, and have had dealings with him in a professional way, and have always known him to be a truthful and reliable man. He asked me if I would make an affidavit to that effect, and I answered I would. I then made the affidavit expressing my confidence in the man's character. Dr. J.M. Pierce, 5115 Grant Building.